you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. You'll remember right at the end of chapter 3, it says, "The way we know he remains in us is from the Spirit he has given us." Jesus said, "I'm not going to leave you as orphans." And so the Spirit of God, God himself, the Holy Spirit is not a derivative. The Holy Spirit is God himself. God comes to us in the person of his Spirit and lives his life in and through us. I got a meme this morning from a dear friend of many years. It said, "I'm not so concerned about putting Christ back in Christmas anymore. I'll settle for just putting Christ back in Christians." Well, in a very real way, that's what this is talking about. Yes, there's a culture war going on. Yes, there are people who are hostile to the faith. That is nothing new. There's always been hostility, and this passage talks about it. We're going to read about the fact that from the beginning, there's been this kind of opposition to the truth. Men love darkness because their deeds are evil. But God has sent his Holy Spirit, who is to live the life of Christ in and through us. So that's what chapter 4 focuses in on. And I want you to look and see what the number one characteristic that will help us to recognize the manifestation of God's Spirit at work in us. 1 John chapter 4. This is God's word. "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see if they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you've heard is coming and even now is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and you have conquered them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore, what they say is from the world. And the world listens to them. We are from God. Anyone who knows God listens to us. Anyone who is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of deception. Dear friends, let us love one another, because love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Love consists in this, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, if God loved us in this way, we also must love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God remains in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we remain in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and we testify that the Father has sent his Son as the world's Savior. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in him, and he in God. And we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And the one who remains in love remains in God, and God remains in him. In this, love is made complete with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Instead, perfect love drives out fear because fear involves punishment. So the one who fears is not complete in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and yet hates his brother or sister, he's a liar. For the person who does not love his brother or sister, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And we have this command from him. The one who loves God must also love his brother and sister. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Did you catch anything about the nature of God as you read through this, a description of the nature of God? God is love. Now, part of the problem is that we have such a distorted idea of what love is. If you love me, you'll buy me a pony. No, we live in an apartment. And so I'm sorry that you've been watching children's shows that cause you to believe that your life would just be heavenly if you had a pony here in the apartment with you. But life is not like that. It would not be good for you, it would not be good for us, and it would frankly not be good for the pony. And we'd get kicked out and be homeless, so there you go. If you love me, why won't you let me do this? Because I love you, I will not let you do that. We live in an age where there are a whole lot of people who really seriously believe that anyone who disagrees with them doesn't love them. That anyone who criticizes them doesn't love them. That anyone who disapproves of something that they do or want to do doesn't love them. You're a hater. But that's not true. The fact is, we often have to tell ourselves no, and we often need to be told no by somebody who loves us. If you want to know how you're supposed to love others, read 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. It's not envious. It's not boastful. It's not rude. Doesn't keep a record of wrongs. That's all very important. But you know what else? Love does not rejoice in evil, iniquity, sin. There are various ways of translating that word, but the bottom line is this. If somebody is doing something sinful, if you love them, you don't say, well, okay, if that's what you want to do. You say, no, don't do that. That's the wrong thing to do. God says that's wrong. God's the creator of the universe, and he's the ruler, and he's the judge, and you don't want to do stuff that God says is wrong. Love does not rejoice in evil, but rejoices with the truth. So if you love one another, it doesn't mean you just pat everybody on the back no matter what they're doing. Oh, you want to try heroin? Well, who am I to judge? All right, I'm not a doctor, but I can tell you right now that's not a good choice, okay? I don't know everything about medicine, but I do know that heroin is not something you could experiment with, and it's no problem, okay? People do things all the time that they shouldn't do. And love causes us to warn people when they're doing something that leads to harm. Harm for them or harm for others. That said, we are to love one another. We're to love one another. We don't just warn people. We also encourage people to do the right thing. We compliment people if there's something to be complimented. Nice job. Well done. That was very kind of you. I appreciate the way that you listened to that person and then responded. That was very good. But folks, if we don't really care about others, we may feel like, you know, well, I don't hate them. But do you care about them? Do you love them? Are you concerned for them? Do you want what's good for them? Are you willing to sacrifice in order to meet their needs? Where does that kind of love come from? Well, that was back in chapter 3. What kind of love is this? That God would take us into his family. And this chapter reiterates it again. God's love was revealed among us, verse 9, in this way. God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Verse 11, dear friends, if God loved us in this way, we also must love one another. Verse 12, if we love one another, God remains in us, and his love is made complete in us. Verse 13, this is how we know that we remain in him and he remains in us. He has given us of his Spirit. The love that we have comes from God, and it's because God loved us. We're responding to him. We don't love him so that he will love us. We love him because he has loved us and has demonstrated his love for us by sending Jesus to save us. And the relationship with Jesus is how you recognize whether or not this really is the Spirit of God. This is how you know, back in verse 2, the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. Down at the bottom of that paragraph, verse 6, this is how we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of deception. Verse 15, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in him and he in God. Now, what if a person says, I love God, I just don't believe in Jesus? Well, who are we to judge? We're supposed to discern the spirit of truth versus the spirit of error. We're supposed to not believe every spirit. Things are either true or they're false. If a school wanted to teach that 2 plus 2, maybe 4, maybe 3, maybe 5, who's to say? That's not open-mindedness, that's idiocy, okay? One of the great things about math is that 2 plus 2 is 4. And 12 inches is 12 inches. It's not, I'd call it about a foot. 12 inches is 12 inches, it's a foot. There are certain given fixed things, and truth is truth. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So if you want a relationship with God, but you just find Jesus too narrow, I mean, he said he was the only way. I mean, that's like really exclusive, you know. I mean, what about all the people who haven't heard? You know, I think we just need to kind of let everybody find their own path. There are tons of people who are saying that. There are people in churches saying that. There are people in pulpits who are saying that. Please understand, there have always been people saying that. That's why this letter says what it does. At the heart of Christianity is Jesus. And so if you are believing in Jesus and trusting in Jesus, that is the work of the Spirit of God. But if not, if you don't believe the truth about Jesus, that God became one of us in the person of Jesus Christ, if you reject that truth, then you have rejected the one way that God has given us to be saved. In the Old Testament, God was angry with his people Israel while they were in the wilderness, and he sent serpents among them that bit them, and they got horribly sick, and they were dying. And when they were in that situation, God told Moses to make a symbol for them, which was a serpent on a cross, and hold that up and tell the people, anyone who looks at this will be saved. All they had to do was look. They didn't have to crawl over to it and kiss it. All they had to do was look. If they would look, they would be saved. There were people who refused to look. The people who looked were saved. The people who refused died. God has provided one means of salvation. And anyone who looks to Jesus, who cries out to him, who says, God, have mercy on me. Please, Lord, save me. God stands ready to save. But if you are a religious person and you really feel like you've done a pretty good job and you don't need as much salvation as that person over there, I can see where they would, you know, really need, you know, some major intervention. But me, I just need a little help. I'm pretty good. I think God would be very fortunate to have me on his team. Please. If you are trusting in Jesus Christ, that is the work of the Spirit of God. If you are not trusting in Jesus, you're lost. You're lost. But tied to that in this passage is the fact that you can't embrace Jesus, who came to seek and to save that which was lost, who came to save sinners. You can't embrace Jesus and have his Spirit living in you and not love your brothers and sisters. Well, okay, I believe in Jesus. I believe that Jesus came to save. Yes, I believe that. And I'm really glad that he came to save me. I wish he hadn't saved some of these other people, however, because they get on my nerves. I've never liked that kind of person. Left-handed people just really bug me. It's usually not left-handed people. But there are folks who really, well, I'll just confess for myself. I would have been really provoked that God saved Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus had spent time traveling around, rounding up Christians in order to have them beaten, thrown into prison, and executed. And while he was on one of his trips to round up more Christians, God intervened and saved him. Now, I don't mind God intervening, but my idea of God intervening with Saul of Tarsus when he's on his way to persecute Christians is like, you know, a bolt of lightning that turns him into a pile of cinders. Okay, I think that would be cool. But if you heard that God had chosen to save the persecutor of the church who was responsible for the death of Christians, would you think that that was a good idea or a bad idea? Would you say, oh, wonderful, so now he's our brother in the Lord? I can't wait to hug him. Is that the way you'd feel? That's not the way I would feel. But that's the way God felt. And God says, you got to love these people that I'm saving. You got to love them no matter what they've done. But that person did me wrong. Yeah, well, you've done me wrong, but I still love you and I made you part of my family. And I want you to love that person. Love that person. Love them. This is the command. That's what it says. We love because he first loved us, verse 19. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother or sister, he's a liar. For the person who does not love his brother or sister whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And we have this command from him. The one who loves God must also love his brother and sister. When I was a teenager, there was a popular song right out of this chapter, 1 John 4, 7, and 8. Some of you old people may know it. But it was straight out of the King James Bible, because back then, the other translations weren't as widely circulated. And so there were folks who were being led by God's Spirit to take various scriptures and put them to music, which led to many of us memorizing vast quantities of scripture, because it was set to a tune, and things are easier to learn if you put it to music. So I'm actually going to teach you a song this morning. It is down in 1 John verses 7 and 8, and it starts out here by saying, Dear friends. In the King James, it says, Beloved. And if you read this chapter, beloved is a better way of translating that phrase, and I'll tell you why. Because God wants you to know that he loves you. And if you're in the family of God, you're not only loved by God, but you're loved by God through a bunch of people. There are people who love you. Whenever you feel alone, whenever you feel isolated, you need to embrace the good news that is ours in Jesus Christ. God loves you, and God's people love you. Yeah, I've been around some church people, and I don't think they loved me. Well, they may not have, but I'm talking about God's people, okay? There are a lot of people who go to church who don't know God, and that is what it talks about right here in this letter. But the people of God love you, and you need to know that, okay? Now, you say, I don't think I can learn anything from the King James, but it's like learning Shakespeare. It'll be good for you. Okay? You think you can do this? Very easy. All right, here we go. We'll do just the first part first, all right? And we'll do the first part a few times. Believe it, many years ago, I taught this to a much larger group in just a matter of about 3 minutes. You'll get it, okay? Beloved, let us love one another. Do that again. Beloved, let us love one another. Next phrase, for love is of God, and everyone who loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. Next part, he that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Try that again. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Now we go back to the beginning. Beloved, let us love one another, 1 John 4, 7 and 8. You think you can do that straight through with me? If we do it 3 times, you'll have it. All right? Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another, 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another, 1 John 4, 7 and 8. You got 2 verses memorized this morning. That was good.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org.
That's pastorwood.org.